Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're worthy of our praise tonight. We thank you, Father God. We bow our heads in honor of you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. We know that you are here, that you live inside of us, but we're also ever conscious of this fact. You're the God of the universe. You're the God of heaven and earth. You're the God who holds everything in the palm of his hand. You're a magnificent, awesome, absolutely beyond human description. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Magnify you. Bless your name. Bless your name, O Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our God is an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a big enough God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Look, tell your neighbor he's a big enough God, and you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to see everyone here tonight. We believe for God's blessings to be upon you. And we know this, that as you have, how many of you have got ears to hear what God wants to say tonight? Amen. How many of you declare that? Make it a statement of faith. I believe I have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. How many of your minds are receptive to the Word of God? Amen. Your heart is open to receive. Isn't that right? And so we just believe for that tonight. And I believe that for God to help me to explain some things, to share some things, proclaim some things that will in such a way that you'll be able to run with it and it'll make a difference in your life. Praise God. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, not last Sunday, but a couple of weeks ago, I ministered on the power of faith. And we talked about, Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And then 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. And I'm glad that Paul wrote we instead of I. And so that means that we can find ourselves in that verse right there. How many of you found yourself in some verses in the Bible? That's a good thing to do. Say, hey, I see myself operating in that. I can do that. I see that Paul, when he wrote this, he included me. When Jesus said that, he included me. Isn't that right? So we know this, that the Word is speaking to us. We had said this, that believing and speaking are the two parts of the operation of faith that enables us to, as Brother Hagin said this, he said that faith is the initial act of faith, or speaking is the initial act of faith. And so we need to recognize there may be some other things that you do in follow-up, but there is the believing and the speaking in the operation of faith. And so that sets you up not only to experience the supernatural, but in cases where there's some other action needed, you're able to now obey God and follow the direction that God has for you. Because you see, listen to me, I found this out, that if I can't get my mouth moving in the right direction, it's very hard for me to get my feet moving in the right direction. Interesting, isn't it? And how many of you knew there's a direct connection between your mouth and your feet? Amen. And so sometimes it seems that way. So Let me just say this. How we believe and speak will determine the kind of faith that we exercise in God's Word. I'm just going to continue on and speak. This is part two of the power of faith. And so how many of you know that how we believe and how we speak will determine what kind of faith we exercise in God's Word? There's different kinds of faith mentioned in the Bible. There's Jesus commented on the disciples' little faith. Wouldn't that be a little embarrassing? I'm on Jesus' team, but I got little faith. Well, you know, I'm not criticizing them at all, because there may be times when my faith is greatly challenged as well. So everybody has certain things. I know this, that some things you people can believe for easier than they can other things. And so that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. It means you can develop your faith. Amen. And you just have to find the right promises and feed on it. Isn't that right? And so we know this. Now, Jesus also, you know, commented. He said in another instance, he said, how is it that you have no faith? Now, none. You're not exercising any. Matter of fact, you're in great fear. How is it that you're doing that? How come you're doing that? Did your mom and daddy ever ask you, how is it that you're doing what you're doing? How'd you decide to do that? How'd you come to do that? Well, you didn't have a good answer. I didn't have a good answer to my parents, and neither did the disciples have a good answer for Jesus. But anyway, you know, I'm glad to report to you they didn't stay that way. I said they didn't stay that way. You know, because in the book of Acts, they kept at it until they were doing good. And so I'm just saying to you tonight, if your faith has been challenged and you found yourself in what seems like weak faith, you wondered if your faith could do it, get hold of the things of God and see you through. You know what I'm saying? Just stay with it. Stay with it. Keep believing the Word and keep speaking the Word. Keep feeding on the Word of God day and night until your believing becomes easier and your speaking flows out of you. Sometimes you have to spend some time listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God. You have to read certain things in order to get your speaker working. And you know, you can make it work, but when it flows out of you like a river, friend, I'm going to tell you something. That's when you're ready, when you know there's some things coming your way. That's when that faith rises up almost unconsciously out of your heart and without you even really thinking about it. And you're speaking what you believe in your heart, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Amen. And so I encourage you to keep doing it. I mentioned this here a while back, and I don't need anybody to come and ask me what CD it was, because that was a particular CD that I needed to listen to, and so you know, for your life is your life, and so you may need something different. So if you come and ask me what CD it was, I'm not going to tell you, okay, because that's what I needed, okay? You understand? You need what you need. I had a particular need in my area, in my life, in a certain area, and so I started listening to that CD, and I listened to it for 7 months. 7 months. And I kept track of how many times I listened to it. I listened to it 105 times. Now, listen to me. That doesn't mean you have to listen to something 105 times to get it. But listen to me. Here's something that I did. And that is this. I watched what I said. And I watched what I did. And if I was saying something different than what I knew the Word said I needed to say, I knew I hadn't got it yet, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I don't have it in there in abundance, it's not going to find its way out. And so it has to be it has to work like a fountain, the coming out, the truth that you have to work to get that truth in you, and until it's like a fountain that bursts forth out of your mouth, and it affects your mouth, and it affects your conduct, it affects your walk, and so I watched myself as I went about my business and how I spoke and how I reacted to different things and how I was conducting myself. And as I watched myself, and I'd look and I said, now in a situation would come up, here's the pressure. So how am I doing? Well, if I didn't do it right, I'd tell myself, Marvin, go back and listen. You didn't get it yet. You hadn't got it. You might have got some of it, but you see, the fact is sometimes we don't have it like we need it yet. Because we hadn't listened to it all that much yet. We hadn't listened to it enough. I listened to it until my attitude. I watched my attitude. That's another thing. Now, I'm telling you, how many of you can tell when you got a good attitude? How many of you can tell when it's not so good? You know what I'm saying? And so you gotta don't sit there and say, well, I got a bad attitude, but people better watch out. You know, God help those who come near me today. Well, no, that's not really it at all. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Saw a sign in a restaurant the other day, and it says, I can only please one person today, and today that person is me. Well, you know, some people, anyway, let's get back on this. But listen to me. You have to understand that even if you wake up with a bad attitude and you wonder, where did that come from? You know, you ever wonder about that? Where did that bad attitude come from? I went to sleep, you know, thinking, well, you know. Well, anyway, and so you don't have to go back to bed to get another attitude, but you do have to get into the Word of God and begin to feed on the right thing in order to change your attitude. Amen. I watch my expectation levels. And if my expectation level is low, I'm telling you, Marvin, you better get back in there. You're listening to the wrong thing. You've been watching the wrong thing too much is what you've been doing. It's not necessarily that you're listening to bad things as so much as it is you might be listening to something or watching something too small. Okay? And so you understand what I mean? When you want God to do something big in your life, don't be going around looking and listening at all the little things that in life. Get your eyes, not saying those things aren't worth something, but listen to me. You got to get your eyes on something that will help you to enlarge your thinking and enlarge your expectations. Lift your head up and realize there is a big God. There is a big God. Amen. And that He will help you. Now, listen to me. That was all free. You know, I hadn't got to my message yet. But I just wanted you to know there is a way to get it in you. And there is, and listen to me, don't give up too soon on feeding on the Word of God. Listen to me. You might have to feed on the Word a year to get to the place where you have it, where you're built up in your faith, where you can believe for certain things. Well, you might take a while to go from weak faith to strong faith. It took Abraham a while. In the end, you know, he had strong faith. But he didn't start out that way. Because he didn't have enough information. He didn't have enough, you know, God told him, He said, I'm going to bless you and all nations shall be blessed through you. And He told him just enough to make Abraham wonder, now how in the world are you going to do that, God? I don't have any kids. And how in the world's the whole world's going to get blessed through... You understand what I mean? And so as God kept sharing with him, he went from one level of faith to the next level of faith to the next level of faith until he was fully persuaded and he was able to receive what it was that he needed, which was he wanted a son. He wanted a child. He got that which was impossible. You see, it is one thing to know about something. It's another thing to be fully assured that the promise is yours and it shall happen in your life. See? Amen. So there's different kinds of faith. Paul mentioned the Thessalonians. He said you have exceedingly growing faith. Isn't that right? Your faith grows exceedingly, he said. In other words, they must really be in the Word of God, and they must be exercising the faith in the Word that they read and that they know. So they must be doing that. And so for their faith grows exceedingly. How many of you know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God? You know that, Romans 10:17. But now there are two instances when Jesus commented and he made this comment. There's only two instances in all the people he dealt with in his ministry where he stopped and he said, great faith. He said they had great faith. Everybody say, great faith. Now listen to me, if I'm going to have some kind of faith, then I want great faith. I don't want little faith. I don't want weak faith. You know what I'm saying? I don't want it just enough faith to get by. I want great faith. Everybody say great faith. And so that's what I'm trying to get to tonight, is that there are two instances in the Bible, in the Gospels, where Jesus commented to these individuals that they had great faith. Now, it's very interesting who he said it to. He said it to, number one, the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8. We'll look at that in just a moment. And then he said it to the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. Or 15. Matthew chapter 15. And so we need to recognize then, what is it that they did that caused Jesus to say that? How did they have great faith? What caused Jesus to look at them and say, you have great faith? Great faith. Great faith. Amen. You know, if you're going to decide, that you're going to have faith, how many of you decided you're going to have faith? How many of you have faith? Isn't that right? How many of you lift your hand and say, I got some faith. I'm at least got enough faith to be saved. And that takes faith to be saved, doesn't it? So we got some faith, don't we? Look at your neighbor, testify to somebody and say, I got some faith. Amen. And so we need to recognize then that we can decide what kind of faith you're going to have. I have decided I want great faith. That's what I hold in front of me. I don't go over and read every day how the disciples got frantic and panicked in the boat when it looked like they were going under, and Jesus looked at them and said, how is it that you have no faith? Why do you have little faith? Is another incident. And so I don't read those every day. Why is that? I'm not trying to have little faith or no faith, but I do read the Roman centurion account and the Syrophoenician woman account almost every day. Why is it? Because I've set my sights on great faith. Great faith. And so let's look over in Matthew chapter 8. Let's read about the Roman centurion. Is this all right with you? Everybody all right with this? You know, and so anyway, Matthew chapter 8 comes right after 7, has for years, you know. Anyway, I'm just messing with you. All right. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Everybody say great faith. Not even in Israel. And he says, I go on to say that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness, and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Flip over, hold your place there. Go over to Matthew chapter 15. We'll read about the Syrophoenician woman. And then we'll see some things here. Hopefully they'll share some things with you. I don't know how far I'm going to get because I got 9 minutes left. And so it says here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came to that from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. And he said, my daughter is severely demon possessed, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Say it with me. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, there are a couple things here that I want you to notice. The Roman centurion and the Syrophoenician woman, neither one of them were Israelites. In other words, these are two people that were not in covenant with God at that time. And so it's very interesting. Jesus, his response to the centurion, and then his response to the Syrophoenician woman. Now listen, Jesus has been accused by scholars of being mean to the Syrophoenician woman. I maintain that he did not. He was not mean to her. He was simply looking to see whether she was emotional or whether she really had faith. Because she's not entitled to what she's asking for because of covenant. She's not in covenant with God. She's an outsider. Okay? And Ephesians, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, says that we were aliens to the promises of God, strangers from the promises of God, far from the promises of God, not entitled to them. And so Jesus said what he did in making an effort to look to see if he could find faith. Because it's easy in people in crisis to be emotional and to say the right things that they think you want to hear. But that's not necessarily faith. You understand what I mean? In the Roman centurion, he became immediately very clear. Jesus didn't have to probe very far to find out that this man had some faith. Matter of fact, he said, you have great faith. Great is your faith. He said, I haven't found faith like yours in all of Israel, in all the covenant people, in all the people that go to church. I haven't found a faith like that. Isn't that interesting? I remember years ago. Now, listen, I'm not going to get done, but I might as well not try to get done. Maybe I'll pick this up next time. Anyway, I remember years ago, I was conducting healing classes, healing school in a certain area of the country, and we'd been doing that for a while, and we had that open for people who needed healing and or were learning how to minister healing to others. Those are the two kinds of people. Well, and their family, you know, could come. But anyway, those are the kind of people that were allowed to come. And so there were people that had been attending that for the length of time, even when I started. And we're still not to the place yet where they could grab hold of their healing and walk in it. You could see some of them had grabbed it for a time or two, a moment or two, you know, and then for some reason reverted back, mostly because of fear. Fear is a big issue. But now listen to me. One night, a lady had heard about the healing class, and she came in. She had some things wrong. She could barely walk. Her hip was something wrong with her hip. And she came in. She sat down and she listened. And when it came time for prayer, she got up. She came forward for prayer. And she said, praise. When it got done praying, she said, praise God, my hip's healed. And so she thanked God for it and sat back down. And you know what she did? She didn't come back because she's healed. And so the next session, they looked around, the people that were still working on getting their healing, they looked around and said, now what? Well, now listen to me. You better answer some questions. How come that lady could walk in and get the healing? We've been here the whole time. If, you know, the tone was like, if anybody deserved to get their healing, it's us and not her. Well, you know, here we go. If anybody deserved to get healing, it would have been the Israelites. But here comes a centurion and gets what he wants with faith that Jesus hadn't seen in Israel. Here comes a Syrophoenician woman. She gets what she wants. Jesus said her faith is great, and she gets her daughter delivered. Amazing, isn't it? You say, well, explain that to me. Well, let me just say this to you. There's certain things that people get used to, and they get used to getting into what we call going through the motions. We're familiar with some things, but, you know, sometimes being familiar with some things causes us some problems. Paul said this to Timothy, who had traveled with him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 5. He said this. He said, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. He said, I'm reminding you of the faith that is in you. Somewhere along the line, he said, you have genuine faith. In other words, the kind of faith that works. You got the real deal. You got that which God designed and put inside of you. You don't have something counterfeit. You don't have something that doesn't work. You don't have something that is not capable of getting you what you need. You got the faith that God gave you. And I'm reminding you, you have that faith. And I'm going to tell you something today, folks. So many times we're in church, and I'm afraid we have to remind people of the genuine faith that is in you. You have faith. But you know, life takes a punch at you. Here comes another one. And it doesn't take long before you're kind of rocking and reeling, you know. And, you know, you feel like you're in the Friday night fights. You know what I'm saying? And somebody's after you. You know what I'm saying? And you're getting one punch after the other, and life is that way. And you know, you're trying to, you know, get back with the Word of God, and yet the enemy comes and he wants to try to knock you out. And so how many of you have had a few punches? How many of you have had a few fights you've been in? And I'm not going to ask you how many you won and lost. I don't know what your win and loss record is. You understand what I mean? But understand this, I suspect that none of us have a perfect record. In other words, for all the stories we can tell you, we used our faith and we knocked the devil out. There may be a few times when we went up against in the battle and we came away and said, I think I better train some more. Picked yourself up off the floor and said, God, you got to help me. There must be some things I don't know about. Isn't that right? How many of you brave enough to hold your hand up and say, I've been there. But now look at your neighbor and say, I'm not there now. We're still in it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying to you, so tonight, you know, just want to show you something here, and then I'm going to have to almost quit here because we're about to run out of time, and that is that just because we're in church doesn't make us a faith person. And just because you sit in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. Just because you're in a donut shop doesn't make you a certain kind of person either. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean we can tell what your vocation is. You understand what I mean by that? And so you understand, just because you're here in church doesn't mean, well, I'm a person of faith. I got strong faith. I'll tell you what, I've been in church a long time. And I'll tell you what, I hadn't missed a Sunday in 65 years. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can go to church all your life, and you may not have great faith. It all depends on what you do with the Word of God on your own time. Did you know the average Christian in America, now listen to this, the average Christian in America doesn't open their Bible. I'm not talking about this kind of Christians in here. I'm talking about across the board, denominational, you understand? When you look at that whole scenario and you see the people that say they're Christians, the average Christian doesn't open their Bible between Sundays. You say, well, praise God, I wouldn't go to that kind of church. Well, friend, listen to me. It happens closer to home than we think. When I was pastoring, guess what? People would leave their Bible. And so I made it a habit. You know, my church wasn't as big as this, so I could do this. And I made it a habit of personally handing the Bible back to them if I knew whose it was. I wanted to hear their response. Because You know what I was doing? I was locating them. I want to know why their Bible is in church all week. Why didn't they come on Monday? Why didn't they turn around and come and get it? And in most cases, I'd say 80% of the cases, they said, oh, I was wondering where I left that. But they didn't bother to come look. And so my hope was that they had a Bible at home they could use, and they didn't just go all week. But there's a lot of Christians that go all week without feeding on the Word of God. And listen to me, my friend, listen to me. Listen to me. When problems come, that's probably going to be in the category of weak faith. Now don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. How can a person, like the guy, some person posed a question on Facebook not too long ago, and the responses were just ridiculous. People were ridiculing that particular person because of, the person was advocating you need faith in God or faith in something, you know, And they made a comment about, I don't remember what it was about. But anyway, one of the comments under their post was this: well, I have great faith, even though I don't read the Bible. Well, now that's an oxymoron. That's an impossibility. You understand? Somebody just exposed their ignorance to the Word of God right there. But you know what the problem is with ignorance, don't you? The problem with ignorance is you never know when you do it. When that thought came to me, I thought it was pretty funny until I realized how many times did I not know when I was being ignorant? Because the nature of ignorance is that you don't know when you're doing it. But we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there. But look at your neighbor and tell them not anymore. Amen? So now here's the thing I want to share with you, and that is this. These two individuals came to God based on what they heard, and they kept it in their heart close to them. They clung to it as if the life, the situation depended upon it. They didn't say, well, I don't know. I'll go see Jesus if the crowd's not too big. I'll go see Jesus, but they better have a seat for me. Not in the back either. You understand what I mean. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm talking about myself. Us church folk, we have certain thoughts that we probably doesn't serve us best. How many of you know we ought to be humble? You know what I'm saying? How many of you need to know? No, you need to prefer your brother. And, you know, your brother and your sister, you know. And I know you're thinking, well, why don't you get back to preaching on faith? You're just meddling now. But on the other hand, listen to me, friend. Listen to me. These are kind of things, this kind of thinking is what affects the level of our faith. The kind of faith. When the problems come, how we believe and how we speak. Amen. Amen. And so I'm not saying that don't go to church. I think church is the best place you could be. But I will say this to you, that just because you go to church doesn't make it necessarily mean you have strong faith. It depends on what you're doing at home with the word on a daily basis. If you're listening to it and then attempting to, and then speaking it out of your mouth, you know, I find people that are listening to the word of God, but they never say much. And friend, listen to me, but you got to learn to speak what you believe. Amen. How many of you have ever noticed that your mouth doesn't really want to open up much in the morning? How many of you people, hello, is it on again? All right. How many of you are people that wake up in the morning and you want to talk? I believe that about you. I've never seen a time when you didn't want to talk. But that's okay. That's all right. But you're different than most people. I can tell you that right now. Most people don't speak to me. It's morning. Anybody been there? Don't have to hold your hand up. Leave me alone. About noon, I'll become conversant. Able to communicate. About noon. Don't ask me any tough questions before 9 o'clock. But now listen to me. But we read our Bible. We know what to believe. But do we declare what we believe? See, that's the thing that we got to do. Speak what we believe. And you got to speak up. Sometimes you got to get your mouth in gear. Anybody that's on an exercise routine wakes up. You know that you wake up and you cannot consult your feelings about exercising. You absolutely cannot ask your body, you think you want to do something this morning? That body will lie to you every time and say, oh no, I think that'd be bad for me. I think I might hurt in a certain place. You know, you cannot. Listen to me, you cannot, and you can't ask yourself, now, why don't you speak up? You know, you need to, you don't go at it that way. What you do is you make a decision. I'm going to read the Word of God, and then I'm going to speak what I've read, even if it's one verse. Don't be silent in your time of reading the Word. That take time to speak what you believe, because in believing and in speaking that you'll develop the things that you are believing for and your ability to receive it. Stand with me if you would, please. We've got many things yet to say, and I'll finish it with this, and that is this, that in the Roman centurion, when he heard what the centurion said, he said, it says that Jesus marveled. Now, there's only two times in the Bible where it says that Jesus marveled. One was here, and the other was in Mark chapter 6 when it says he marveled at their unbelief. So you can make God marvel either at the level of your unbelief or the level of your faith. And it's the same Greek word. And it can have both negative connotations or positive connotations. In the case of the Roman centurion, it had the implication there that Jesus stopped and admired the faith that he had. Have you ever stopped and admired something? He said, man, that's something. You ever go to a car show, guys? You know, anybody that's interested in cars, you know, you go to cars and you marvel at some of those things, the way they've been fixed. And so you know some of the home, you go to some of the homes on one of those tours, you know, and you marvel at some of the homes, the way they're fixed, you know. People marvel at different things. They admire things. Jesus admired that man's faith. In the case of Mark chapter 6, the Bible says he marveled, but the implication there means that he wondered about them. So the question tonight I'm going to leave you is this: is God admiring your faith, or is he wondering about your faith? Only you can answer that. Amen. But you know, Lord willing, we may be able to preach some more on this and just see what comes out of this, okay? Because I still got, I got under point number one and down to, I got under point one. I've got that far. And it's all your fault because you pulled it out of me. You're a good crowd. We thank you for being willing to receive. How many of you know that it's not just the preacher that's doing a good job, but the people have to listen good too and be willing to hear? And so we believe in God to say something tonight that helped you. How many of you did it? Say something that helped you tonight, helped you, encourage you a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I was over there worshiping this while ago, and I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God told me. He said, there are some in this place tonight that you're about to give up. I saw in the Spirit, I saw people that were turning aside from the thing that they were believing for. And the Lord said to tell you, this is not the time to give up. This is not the time to give up. It's not the time to turn aside. Your faith is working. It may not seem like it, but it is working. So keep on believing the Word of God. Keep feeding yourself on the Word and keep saying what the God's Word says. Listen to me. If you knew what it would be like when the answers come, you'd push on through. You'd push on through. Push on through. You would speak one more time, and then one more time, and then one more time. Amen. How many of you bear witness to that? You know, how many of you, I'm just going to ask you, does anybody lift their hand and say, that was me right there? That was me. I see that. I see the hands. Amen. 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 It pays to develop your faith in God. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you're doing a good work in these people. You love these people dearly. Bless them now. Help them in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Father, encourage them in their faith. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Say this with me. My faith does work. I have faith from God. I have the faith of God. I have the kind of faith that comes from the Word of God. The kind of faith that is created when I hear the Word. I have a kind of faith that can get supernatural results. I have the kind of faith that can move mountains. I have the kind of faith that can make problems go away. Difficulties move out of the way. Obstacles be removed. Opposition to be pushed aside. And I'm able with my faith to receive the promise of God. I have that kind of faith. I'm going from one level of faith to another. And I'm receiving what you have for me, Lord. I'm staying in the race. I'm going to keep feeding my faith. I'm going to keep looking into the Word of God. I'm going to keep believing what I read. And I'm going to keep speaking what I believe. And I believe I shall receive. what I have spoken. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I trust you received something tonight. Listen, if you need prayer for something, ladies, come over to these ladies right here, and men, come over to these men right here. They'll be glad to help pray with you, add their faith to your faith. How many of you have ever been there where you needed somebody to add their faith to yours? And so we just thank God for that. And so we're glad for them to be there and do that. So you can come anywhere. Brother Bill just reminded me, let's sit back down. Let's do something very honorable, something that's a great privilege. Let's receive a second offering. Let's receive an offering real quickly right now for Pastor Hagen's birthday. Would you be willing to do that with me? And let's just believe God together. You know, when I said that, you know, sometimes what you say, that right there is right there, is an opportunity right there. I talked about faith in God, didn't I? I talked about believing the word and speaking the word. How many right now, when we receive an offering or give an offering, it's an opportunity to believe God and to speak God's word. Amen? So how many of you believe that if you give, you shall receive? That's what the Bible says. How many of you believe that God will abundantly bless you for your giving? And so we declare that. Say it with me. My God blesses me abundantly for the giving that I do. I thank you, Father. Your word is true. Your promises are true. The harvest is coming to pass on the seed I'm sowing. In Jesus' name. So now as you give today, just think about the love that Pastor Hagen has shown to you and Mrs. Hagen and the Hagen family, and just understand that they've worked hard for this, and we're just giving back to them a little bit of what we have to show that we love them back. Amen. All right, ushers, are you ready? Those of you that want to give by text, of course, it would be 28950, and then you would do Hagen space, and then your amount. If you want text, you can also write it on your envelope. And however you want to give, you can give cash as well. And so let's receive our offering. God bless you as you do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We did have some first-time guests, didn't we? Back up that way. Well, God, connection team, while we're doing that, maybe you can slip up there and just connect with them. And go get that gift that's been prepared for you as our way of saying thank you. Let's give the first-time guests a great big hand. And thank you for coming. Praise the Lord. Good to see them. And tonight, I just want to encourage you to keep using your faith. Amen. Don't let somebody talk you out of the faith that you've got. Don't let somebody tell you that your faith doesn't work. Amen. Because you got the right kind. You just keep developing it, and you'll find that it worked. It'll work. It'll work. It'll work. You just don't take no for an answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we better dismiss before I start preaching the next part. Amen. Amen. All right. Tell somebody that you love them and that you appreciate them, and you're dismissed.